I want us just to hold that place in front of Jesus. Just hold that place. Keep your eyes on him. It's a beautiful picture as he moves among us. And I felt that as he moves us among us and holds our face in his hands and looks into our eyes. Sounds so romantic, and it is. It is the greatest love story that one could ever believe or understand. That God should love us so much, that he should love us so much, that he would come and die for us. So I want to share with you this morning a simple message. I think you'd all understand the message, even if I never preached it. But I need you to catch the heart of God, because we earnestly need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. We do. During the week, one of our deacons, I won't mention his name, but one of our deacons just felt in the Lord. He felt so distressed because he had been speaking to someone and they were talking about people that have left, gone away, lost sight of God, and they're nowhere anymore. They're not there. And I've just been encouraged. Miriam has been sitting on my head. She's allowed to. About just getting this word out of running this race with such devotion that there's no divide, that there's nothing that holds us back from that devotion, that keeps us in that place. We call Christianity a relationship with God, and that's what it is. It's a relationship with God. It's something that is alive. And somehow we need to see it not as a story, but we need to see it as us in the picture. In the living picture of us walking with God and God walking with us, and that we are loyal to our God, that we are faithful to our God, that we are devoted to our God. So let me read the portion of scripture for you. You will understand it. Therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. The author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that is set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The things that Jesus was concerned about are written and located in these words, Matthew 24:12. Because of the lawlessness that will increase, the love of many will grow cold. We live in such a world. It's our world. It's our day world. It's a world in which we walk with God. Is it possible that I would forsake him? Yes. That's what he said. He used the word many. The love of many. How many is many? Not a few. It's many. The love of many will grow cold. Do I want to be one of the statistics? And that is my message to you today. And if it's my parting message, if it's the only message you ever hear again from me, may it be that message. That you will keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. That you will keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. It's the only way you're going to stay in the race. It's the only way that you're going to get through this. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. You need to say it in your heart. You need to believe it in your life. The author and the finisher of your faith. You don't start without him, and you cannot end without him. It's the only way to hold that place. The position of a Christian, the position of one who loves God and serves God and walks with him. And I know we have all different backgrounds. We have different places where we've come from, and there are different circumstances that we all face every single day of our lives. We are going to face circumstances, and some of the difficulties of the future may even be a lot worse than what we have experienced in the past. But you need to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. It's the only place that will hold it together for you. It's the only place that will keep you steadfast and sure that you will not be a statistic that Jesus has to worry about, that you will be lost, that you will grow cold. So, running a race means engaging a contest. A contest of speed. It's a different posture. It's not just a walk. It's a different posture. It's a running a race. It's a different posture. Engaging the contest of speed. It's a type of competition that tests your skills. It will test your skill and your readiness. Your race will test your readiness. And the objective is the race. The objective of the race is to achieve something worthy, to find something worthy. That would be in the natural, but in our lives, very much more. So this text that I've just read from you, for you, from Hebrews 12, actually started a lot earlier than that, because it actually uses the words therefore, so consequently. And if you read chapter 11, you'll find out what the consequence is of chapter 11. It's about a crowd of witnesses, not spectators, witnesses, martyrs, those that have suffered the same cause that you and I are suffering in Christ and walking with God, the same cause, a crowd of witnesses. And it starts the message there. It says, now faith, and I'm using my interpretation of that scripture, faith is the substance of the things hoped for. Now, faith is the God-focused motivation that gives us an interactive view, a firm belief of hope, of a way beyond natural. That's what faith is about. It goes on in verse 6 of chapter 11 and it says, without faith, it is impossible. Say impossible. It is impossible to please God. It is impossible. It is an ingredient that you cannot lose. And your faith is built on what? Nothing else but Jesus. Did we not say the author and finisher of our faith? The author, the beginning of our faith? That's how we build. We build on this faith. We build in this belief of God, that he is God, that he exists, that he's a real God, that he concerns himself for us, so much so that he sent his son to die for you. We could start every sermon that you ever preach with these words. And I'll read one from Malachi chapter 1. You know the book of Malachi? Yeah. Chapter 1, verse 2. I have loved you. That's God to us. I've loved you. I don't want you lost. If I loved you to save you, I don't want you lost along the way. I want you there with me forever. That's the race that we're in. So it's a big thing. This great crowd surrounding us. Not spectators, I've said, but a crowd of witnesses. A crowd of witnesses. A cloud of witnesses. A bunch of people around us, bustling around us. You can almost feel the center stage of an arena where the runners are getting ready to run. And they're preparing themselves and they're marking out their own strength against the pathway that lays ahead of them. And these guys are around them all the time. We're with you. We understand. We know. Do this, do that. Try this. This is the best way. encouragement that we have of those that have gone before. Go and read chapter 11 of Hebrews and you'll be surprised at the great faith of great men. And they're around us. And we are also, the word says, and we also, since we also are surrounded, we also, we are not separate from this. Let us cast off. Let us cast off. Let us throw away. And I'm going to elaborate just a little bit on that in a moment. I don't really want this to be long. I honestly don't. Because it's so simple. It's so easy to understand. It's so easy to grasp hold of. But there's one thing that remains. One thing that remains that we must grasp onto. And that is Jesus. Jesus. All right. So we consider Jesus. The word consider or looking to Jesus. What does it mean, looking to Jesus? Looking to Jesus. Where's Jesus? Where do I find Jesus? Looking to Jesus. Obviously, it's not something necessarily in a physical sense, but it's considering the one called Jesus. And may we have, even as the song has said this morning, dove eyes, only for him. Only for him. The one lover of our soul, only for him. Dove eyes. And then it goes on and says that he is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Have you ever thought about the joy that was set before him? What was that? Now, I know we'd like to say it was us. That was the joy. I think it's a lot bigger than that. I think it's a lot bigger than that. What does God say to you when you finally come to the end of your life? And you've done a good job. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy. There's something about that. There's something about the joy. Jesus died for the joy that was set before him. There's something about the presence of God. There's something about God himself. There's something about who he is and what he is that is so bountiful that the only word that can describe it is joy. Enter into the joy, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. It had to be big. It had to be a lot bigger than the joy that we think it is. Just the happy bubble. It's not just a happy bubble. There's something more. There's something deeper into it. Friends, I want to say to you, this is not just a story in the Bible. You are in the story. You are in the story. You are part of it. It's like the camera is on you. The camera is on you. Every activity, every action, every thought, every movement of your life is captured on camera in this story, the running of the race. It is not something separate that you go to. You're in it. You're in it. It's not separate from our lives. You're in it every single day. You get up in the morning, it's there, it's part of you, it's part of your life, it's part of who you are. But where does it start? It starts with a devotion. A devotion. A devoutness, a giving of yourself to God. For there is no other love. Paul has a wonderful way of stating his life. At the end of his life, he says these words in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. It sounds like Henry's going somewhere. Yeah. The time of my departure. It actually means you throw your anchor away. That's what it means, departure. So I'm throwing my anchor. So anchor's away, guys. Sorry, you're going. Not for without a purpose, I know. Let me read it again. I'm distracting you. For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought a good fight. I have striven the strife. I have conflicted the conflict. I have been in the contention. I have finished the race. I have finished the course. I have finished my career. And I have kept the faith. The faith. Remember that God loves faith. That God is pleased by faith. I have kept the faith. Much of the reason of this message is about the concern of losing our way along the way. So what do I say to you? What do I say to you? There are two things that who wrote the book of Hebrews? Anybody? You don't know. Why don't you know? Because I don't know. Nobody told us. We figure out it might be Paul, but it might not. It might be a combination. Maybe the guy sat together, the apostles sat together and wrote the thing together. It was to the Hebrews, to the Jewish people. That's what it was. Who it was written to. So the story breaks it up into two. There are two parts. He says, let us throw off, you know what throw off means? Throw off everything that hinders and the sin that easily entangles. How will you lose it? The definite from here. If you are weighted with things that are going to strangulate your run, and sin. The sin. Will you take note of that, please? Will you deal with that? What are the things that hinder? And what are the things that strangle you? What are the sins that hold you back? Maybe small things, but you may be invested in sin. And I'm trusting that God will help you today by the power of His Spirit, that He will help you to break the chains. When I read this portion of Scripture, I saw from out of that song people holding the chains above their head, standing in the presence of God with broken chains above their head, that we'll be released from the burdens, the things that hold us back, the things that divide us between, keep us from the face of Jesus. Let us deal with those things and deal with them well. So, what does it mean, the things that hinder us? What are those things? It's interesting, if you go to the Greek text, to find out the meaning of this hindrance and everything that hinders and entangles. The word entangle is like when you're running a race and you have people around you that don't want you to win. They don't want you to get anywhere. And they keep bumping you, trying to trip you up, running in front of you, breaking your pace. That's what it means to be entangled. And it's to get away from that, to contend with that, to break away from that crowd, to get out into the front of it, that they no longer can hinder you, to get into that place where you are secure in Jesus and secure in it. But you have to deal with it. You have to deal with it. And He's given us a way, guys. He's given us a way. There's no other way but the gospel. There's no other way but Jesus dying on the cross. So you cannot manufacture your salvation. You cannot DIY your salvation. You cannot in any way formulate something that will break the power of sin. You have to go to Jesus. You have to go to the cross. You have to get to the place and deal with it. Deal with it. Sure, the enemy will come in, but if you're strong in the Lord, if you're strong in the Lord, you will survive this. You'll get out in the front, and they will not be able to hinder you. So, quickly, these things. So we concentrate, we consecrate our lives. Very often we use the word committed. I've committed my life to Jesus. A better word is consecrate. It actually means you're going to die. Okay. Means you're going to offer yourself. It's not just commit. Like I commit to writing a matric exam. It's just you're writing a matric exam. You won't die. Just write it. But if you consecrate your life to Jesus, you will die. You will be hurt. You will go through a lot of things. But know this, that He's with you. He's with you. He's the author. You look behind you. He started. You look ahead of you, He's there, and finisher of your faith, and with you between the author and the finishing, the beginning and the ending. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Learn to posture yourself like that. Deal with endurance. Find a wellspring that is deep enough for you to drink from constantly, more and more. And friends, may I say this? Put a little application of boldness into your life for Christ and walking with God. Don't stand there all shivery and shaky. Run the race with boldness. Run as hard as you can with boldness. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. It's like he's out there waiting for you to finish the race. And that's how I want my life to end. Boldly before the Lord. Consistency is important. Don't be blindsided by your own history. Don't allow your own history to entangle you. The things that strangle you. The things that you were. The things that you couldn't get over. Don't allow your history to strangulate you, but keep your eyes again fixed on Jesus. Pay attention to these things. Pay attention to the sin. Your life should be faith-driven. Do you have a big enough God? Do you have a big enough God? Seriously, do you have a big enough God? Or maybe ask this question. Do you have a big enough vision or a big enough heart for the things of God? Do you have a big enough story for the God that you serve? Losing sight of Jesus is a terrible thing. So don't lose sight of Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on him. So, we need to be confident that the road that is set before us is doable. It's possible. But I want to ask you today if we can take a little more than just the doable bit, the part that I can actually get up, I was going to say off my behind, but I'm not allowed to preach that. But anyway, it sounds good. So get up and start running to begin with. And as you start running, I want us to get into a place spiritually. And I'm talking about this congregation that will get into a place of leaping. That we'll take big steps out there for God. That we'll leap. So that you don't ever forget this picture. Can I have somebody here that is good at marking meters out? Just meters. Sure. Not far. Sherman, you can do it. Okay, just grab that chair and start here. Two chairs will be good. Well done, Sherman. I'm going to miss you. You see? Okay. Now you don't have to take the chair with you. You can wait until you get there. Okay. But I want you to give me 9 meters. Nine. From there, yeah. Okay. Just mark it, please. There we go. All right. Now, this is not something that you try at home. Okay. I'm not going to do any. You're done. You can sit down. You can relax. Because you're not one of the guys. You're not one of the guys. All right. Carl Lewis set a record of long jump very close to 9 meters. Long jump. So, do not try it at home. I know all of you guys are thinking, I'm going to at least try. I'm going to give it a go. 9 meters in the air, take off, land. It's flying. That is really doing it. And just by the way, he runs 100 meters in less than 10 seconds. 100 meters, which means he does this distance in every second of his race. 1 second, 2 second, 3 second, every second. 10 of these give you 100. That's the distance. The word that I want to add to this equation is this: impossible. Impossible. There's only about 3 or 4 people in this whole planet can do that. Acknowledge it. We have one of them here. Yeah. Go, my man. We cannot do what God wants us to do without Jesus. You cannot do the 9 meters. You cannot do the 100-meter sprint. You cannot do it without Jesus. If you want to make a jump for God, you have to do it with Jesus. If you want to shift forward, you have to do it with Jesus. If you want this church, this congregation to change, if you want to be a somebody in this congregation that makes his mark, you have to do it with Jesus. You're not going to do the jump. But I'm asking you to ask him to do the jump. The big jump. The big step. The big request. All right. I must keep quiet. Or maybe the longer I preach, the less you're going to pray me out. Something like that. I don't know. I don't know. But there is a time that we need to go. And I'm not afraid to go. I'm not afraid to go because Jesus has called us through this. I don't think it's a dream that I could ever thought out myself. And can I just tell you quickly, about 5 or 6 years ago, and I know Miriam has her own story to tell, but 5 or 6 years ago, I preached Christmas message, you know, Father Christmas, the whole thing. That was my job. All the other guys were away. So I preached Christmas, and I studied the story of Jesus' birth, and I went through that story quite intently, and I came across the plot where the angel comes to Mary and says to Mary, "You're pregnant." And her words were this, "How can this be? I'm a virgin. How can this be?" And he said, "That which is born in you is born of the Holy Spirit." So I said, in my heart I felt I'm going to pray a brave prayer. I'm going to say to God, "Make me pregnant with something of the Holy Spirit. Make me pregnant with something of the Holy Spirit. That when it happens, I'll use the same words, Jesus, that Mary used. How can this be?" I'm going to Azefontein as one of those. How can this be? I could never have dreamt it. I thought I was stuck here in Durbanville for the rest of my life. And I wouldn't have minded. I love Durbanville. I love you guys. I know a lot of you don't really know me as know me. But I've been around a long time in Durbanville. But it's time for us to go. Not to retire. Some people, they keep saying it. People just said this, even this morning, "You're going to retire." No. Oh. I'm running the race. This is my jump, guys. This is my jump. This is a prayer that I pray to God, that God, you will give me something of the Holy Spirit that I have to jump. It is impossible for me to be pregnant. I don't know if you noticed. Impossible. It is impossible except by the Holy Spirit. Except by the Holy Spirit. Except by the power of God. And except Jesus, who makes a difference. Let me pray a short prayer for you. But before I do, are there any of you here, sitting here this morning, that want to make a big jump? You know where you are. Some of you have been hindered in your race. You have lost sight of Jesus somewhere in the picture. He's not quite as clear as he used to be. Your steps are strangled by sins, little things that are bothering you. If you're one of those people, just stand. Just be bold and stand. Doesn't matter what it is. No one's going to look down on you and say, "Oh, you're one of the sinners." Or "You're the one that's hindered." Or "You're the one that's lost sight of Jesus." It's important enough for me that all of you could stand. It would be. Because I don't care if you stand. Because I want more. I want more for you as a congregation. I want more for you as individuals as you sit here. More in your communities. More as your leadership. More in everything. I want you to take big steps for God. I want you to move out there. Not little steps. Not little things. Not trot your way through this thing. You're going to do your 9-meter jump. Think about it, friends. Look at the impossible and then say, with God, all things are possible. With Jesus, all things are possible. I'm going to make this jump. I'm going to be more. Not because I can do it. Not because I can DIY myself into this place. I need a reconstruction. And the only way is through Holy Spirit. The only way. So, thank you, Jesus, for everyone that has stood. And even everyone that is sitting, I don't care much, Lord. I want to pray for them all. I want them to move powerfully and strong in the name of Jesus into their future. I want them to move without hindrance. I want them to move without sin holding them back. I want them to move because they have trusted in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want them to move because they have their eyes fixed on Jesus, that He is center stage of their life, that He is center stage of this church, that He is center stage of their marriage, that He is center stage of every aspect of their being. May their gaze be rewarded by your beauty. May their gaze be rewarded by your strength. May their gaze be rewarded by your joy, that we may run this race with boldness to the very end. Amen. Amen. Oh, guys, thank you.